Welcome to ICE Group's podcast, where today we hear from Wendy and Jane, two experienced midwifery managers who work with John Hunter Hospital in Newcastle, New South Wales. They provide a really interesting and first-hand account of the role of midwifery and the maternity services within the John Hunter Hospital. Let's take a listen.
So my name is Wendy. I'm the manager for postnatal services here at the John Hunter Hospital in Newcastle. And I'm Jane Crosby. I'm one of the managers in birthing suite, and I also manage the high-risk model of care.
So I suppose, could you give us an idea of what a day in the life of the John Hunter Hospital is like?
Yeah. So the day of the life of John Hunter, well,
first word that comes to mind is busy.
Absolutely. Mm. But collaborative as well. We do look after a range of, women with all different complexities. We look after high risk, low risk women, and all different models of care, from midwifery models of care to our multidisciplinary team, which includes medical officers that the midwives work with. We've got our social worker teams, and really we work in collaboration with what the women actually require and what services they need.
We have many models of care. We have a model of care that provides home birth options for women who choose that. I believe we are one of the largest, if not the largest, home birth publicly funded provider within the state of New South Wales. We do approximately 70 home births a year. And as we said, we have other models of care. So the high risk model, the model of care for women who are socially disadvantaged, young mums, drug and alcohol, and also a model of care for our Indigenous women who come through and have cultural support, along with a known midwife and an Aboriginal healthcare worker as well.
So I suppose 70 home births a year, how would that fit into the overall picture of how many you'd have at the hospital in total?
We do up to 4,500 births a year here at John Hunter. Yeah. It's not the largest in the state, but it's certainly the largest outside the Sydney metropolitan region. Mm-hmm. And we service a large area. We support our smaller units, which are based all up to the border, up near Moree, and covers a region of 130,000 kilometres. So it's a very collaborative service where our doctors fly in and out to Moree. Some of our midwives go up there as well. Yeah. And we provide telehealth to many other regions. Mm.
That's quite a vast area that you cover.
I thought it might impress you.
What? How many staff then would you have to facilitate all of those births?
It's around the 250-300 mark.
Yeah, and that's just midwifery staff that we've got. Mm. That's not including the nurses, the medical staff, our social workers. Our Aboriginal healthcare workers, our lactation consultants, so that's not inclusive of them either. So we've got a very large team, but we have a very good collaborative team. So with our midwives, they work in all different areas of maternity. So that's including our antenatal clinics, which we actually have off-site clinics available, but also we also have on-site as well for our high-risk women that requires medical support. We've also got midwives who work on the postnatal ward. We've got they're working in we have a high risk antenatal ward as well, which for women who requires close observations, they require admissions to hospital. They they might require that longer length of stay here, so they're cared for by our midwives, and of course in collaboration with the medical staff. And we've also got birth suite as well, which Predominantly, our midwives actually care for the women and particularly if they're low risk, even if they're high risk, our midwives do care for the labouring and birthing women there. And the medical staff are there working alongside the midwives just to ensure that, they're progressing well.
In addition, we have a gynecology unit. So our high-risk antenatal and gynecology oncology ward are one base together. So we have our nurses, and some of them are nurse midwives who work on that ward. And we also have gynecology outpatients. So that's quite, it's a smaller part of our service, but a very important part as well.
It sounds like it's a great team effort. Is there a great feeling of collaboration in there?
Absolutely. Yes. I feel that we work very closely with our medical staff. And, I feel like our midwives also feel very supported by them. We know who to call when we need to. We know they're just around the corner. And I think that's probably one of the advantages of John Hunter Hospital is that we have our medical support and newborns. We've got our neonatal unit as well on site. So they're literally just, across the hall there. So if we need any support, they're there when we need them. And going back to the newborn services, we work in very close collaboration with them as well. So, yeah, we have a very good, tight relationship with them.
So our women, as we've identified, are all risk, and we service a large proportion of the state. And that part of that is that we have the support of the newborn services, and we take all babies into that area apart from the cardiac babies. So they're the only babies that do not stay in Newcastle. They go to Sydney where there's specialist paediatric cardiology services available, but everything else stays with us. So that just increases the range of women that we can care for here.
It must be very reassuring for people who live in the state to know that there's such a fantastic facility within their reach.
I think that's one of the benefits of Hugh. I mean, as isolated as we are, we're not that isolated. We're level 6 tertiary hospital, and we're the only one in Hunter, New England. And, it's our rural sites tend to, transfer these babies in. So it is, I suppose, a bit of a buffer for them to know, and a bit of reassurance for them that they can, consult our team as well, about possible transfers, or if they need some advice about anything, that we're only just a phone call away. So,
and we all operate under the same policies and procedures and guidelines, so that makes for really good standardization of care and understanding by the staff of what care can be provided and how it should be provided.
I suppose, how did you both get into midwifery then? Is it something that you always thought, that's what I want to be when I grow up, or what was the pathway for you?
I'd been overseas and had come back after 18 months away and decided to get back into nursing. I really missed it while I was away, and I ended up working in Manly, which is a lovely little hospital, and they had a maternity unit there, and I sort of just fell into it, and I've never left it. I've just loved it and have stayed ever since, and that was a little while ago.
And for me, I was my career started as a nurse first, and I suppose I was very fortunate in given the opportunity and working and having my placements in a maternity unit, actually here, just in the ward that I'm managing now. That was the ward that I was being able to work in, and just being able to work with the women, it was just so rewarding and reassuring. And it was very different back then when I started my midi. You'd have women who had pregnancy loss, and but then on the other side you had women who had babies as well. So yes, regardless of their situations, you were always there supporting the women, and you'd cry with them, you'd laugh with them, you'd support them in that way. And I never left midwifery. It was a place, after I did my nursing, I knew that's what I wanted to do and pursue an ongoing career in that. So
I think she was actually targeted by the manager at the time who identified her potential.
So, yeah, so like an example, you just never leave this place because...
Apart from the fact we can't, we don't want to.
Started my student nursing here and, you know, and I'm still here. So it's a good place to work.
It sounds like you meet quite a variety of different people. I suppose it must be difficult to balance that, you know, between meeting maybe a parent who's come in and lost a child with the joy and enthusiasm of maybe new parents. So your role must be a counsellor nearly as much as anything else, is it?
Oh, you have to be. Yeah. I think as midwives, you know, it's... You know, I know that when I speak to the women, you definitely have to have, you know, just a different nature about you to be in this profession, because you're not only, you know, supporting them during pregnancy, you're counselling them about, you know, what's going on in their personal lives and, you know, getting them through every day to day. And particularly when you're in the continuity model for care, you get to really build that relationship with the women and their families, and you know, you sort of become part of their family as well, so you really build that bond. Mm. Which is, it's, yeah, it's a great experience. Yeah. Jane, yeah, and I used to work at Belmont together. Yes. We used to do home births, and you know, Belmont Hospital is it's sort of a bit of an addition to our service, where it's an off-site birthing service. And yeah, Jane and I worked together there, and yeah, it was amazing.
And that's where our home births are supported out of. So women can choose to either birth at home or birth at the off-site birthing unit, which is Belmont.
Mm. Mm.
And then of course, if they need a higher level of care or some form of intervention, then they transfer to the John Hunter, and it's usually fairly seamless. It's a 20-minute trip down the road, but it's a lovely environment. Mm.
Yeah, and then of course you have your high risk, you know, vulnerable women with, you know, with different psychosocial complexities, and again, it's a different skill in itself. You know, our midwives who work with these women, you know, they're just so passionate in what they do, and they're very patient as well, and you have to be, because you know, for these women that are, you know, their lives are, I suppose, chaotic. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you really have to build that rapport and relationship with them to, you know, to help them engage in the services that, you know, we want to provide them. So yeah, it's like it's a specialty job.
And listening's the key. Yeah. Communication tool.
Yeah, very fulfilling, definitely.
And I suppose every woman's journey to pregnancy is different.
Yes.
And no one has had the same path. So you must have to kind of tailor their expectations and your expectations and work with everyone. Every person is different, I suppose.
Mm. That's right. We have the philosophy here, woman-centered care. So every woman, every time. And as you say, you tailor your care to that individual woman, her family and her needs. And that's what our whole service, that's what our, basically our core value is.
And I know you see a lot of patients a year and a lot of women a year, but for them, you're the midwife that they're going to always remember, that brought their child into the world. So how does it feel to be such a huge part of somebody's life like that?
It's very rewarding. Mm. Particularly, you know, you may not remember them, but they remember you, and you think, wow, I can't, you know, you just think, you birthed my last child, and you think, am I getting a bit too old for this, or, or am I really making an impact for them? Mm. But yeah, they just remember. It doesn't matter whether they're having their first baby or their fifth baby.
Mm.
It really does have an impact on them, and you know, positive and negative, of course, but
it's an honor though.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember my midwives, and you know, I cared for many people as well, and maybe stopped in the street or at the supermarket, and yeah, and that's very special. Someone said, oh, look at my baby, you were there at my birth, and oh wow, yeah. So you do, you make an impact, and you could make it as positive as you can for each and every individual.
Mm. We actually, I've got a little story. We last probably a couple of years ago on International Midwives Day, we did a campaign at the front of our hospital. And I met a woman that was there who was just coming in to do, I think her parents may have required some follow-up, and she instantly looked at me and she said, "I remembered you. You looked after me in the birth centre, and you were the only one who trusted that I was actually in labour, because it was a third baby, you know, just very quiet achiever." And it was, it was so many years ago. And when she described how she felt and felt like she was being listened to, she said, "You were the only one that knew that, you know, you asked my husband about what I was like," because I only just knew her. I got to know her just, you know, within half an hour on her arrival, and, you know, just giving her the opportunity to settle in into the birth center and, you know, and just getting her to adapt to the environment and giving her that chance to labor and feel homely. Yeah. And, you know, I actually do remember her, because I remember talking to the husband, and he mentioned, yeah, usually she does this grunting sound, and that's the time when you know she's about to have a baby. And it took a while for her to grunt, but the time when she grunted, I literally looked at him saying, "Is that the grunt you're talking about?" And he's like, "Yeah." So she ended up having a beautiful water birth, and it was so lovely. I remember the lights were all dimmed down, and yeah, she said, "I just never forget that." So yeah, it was beautiful.
It sounds like every woman gets a different and unique and tailored experience in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And as Wendy said, she only had half an hour to be able to get to know that woman. So you've got to use every moment that you have to get the clinical information, but to build the rapport with both the woman and whoever it is with her, her partner or mother, her friend, to support her. So there's a lot going on that you're not even really thinking about. Yes, you're taking the observations, you're listening to the baby's heart, but you're documenting it. But there's a lot of other stuff that's just, you're just doing it without really thinking about it, just to make her comfortable and to build that rapport and relationship with her.
So that's all wonderful. And could you just tell us a little bit about what a home birth is like then over there?
Yeah, I've been involved in a few home births. I don't know, what do you say? It's a whole completely different experience for the women. And I think mentally, you've got to be mentally prepared for how to set a woman ready for a home birth. There's a lot of preparation for it, but I think for when you are working in a low-risk model of care, the women already know what they want for their birth. So they've already got their birth plans. They know, you know, they feel homely, they feel safe. And that's what we do as midwife, is that, you know, we're coming into their birthing environment and we want to try and make it as safe for them to, you know, to make sure that they are happy and supported to birth there. You know, a lot of women don't want to birth in a hospital environment because they're afraid, they don't feel safe. And, you know, and it's our role as midwife to make sure that we can support them as much as we can. Yeah, it's just such a different feeling. You can't even describe how it feels, because the moment the woman births in a home, it's almost like she's fulfilled a goal. And yeah, it's just indescribable. Even the partners are overwhelmed, particularly if it's their first, and you know, they're all being used to, you know, birthing in a hospital. When they see it happen, they go, "Wow, I didn't realize, you know, this can actually even happen." And to actually be able to have the option of birthing at home, you know, was never considered, you know, how many years back. Yeah, and like I said, you have to build that relationship with the woman and their families, because you're literally going into their homes to, you know,
you're the guest.
Yeah, to assist them with the birth. So, a lot of women are very prepared, and so when you arrive to their homes, they've got everything all well and set up. They've got music going, they've got, you know, what do you call it?
Candles
burning, yeah. And yeah, it's almost quite romantic, and you think, oh, I'm intruding here. So it's you just make it as quiet as possible and as peaceful as you can make it, and we just try not to invade their privacy. We just sort of let them know that we're here. And you know, the women tend to know their own bodies, so when they're ready to birth, they tend to call you and to say that they're ready, because we find that a lot of times, even when we're attending a home birth, they'll let us know, but they won't want us there, because again, they want that sort of environment, that, you know, that enclosed space. And so we're only there just to, we're only when they want us there, when they're ready for us, basically.
I suppose I have to ask, how did COVID affect the way births were dealt with over in Australia? Because we all know how it was here in Ireland, and it was very different, and it was very difficult for fathers especially to not be able to go in and to witness, yes. But also for the mothers that they were on their own in the hospitals. Was it a similar situation over there?
I think we got off.
We were very fortunate because, again, we have a very good collaborative team of medical and midwifery, even our management team, because we know and we believe, you know, we know how important it is for a woman to have their support person with them. So we had to restrict the number of visitors coming. We knew that, you know, it was so valuable to have their partners to support them, particularly in labour and birth. Which I think it just alleviated a lot of angst from them.
Yes.
But we had to learn very quickly about how to manage COVID with the limitations of what we had. So, you know, our bed capacities and how many women and how many partners would be tested, you know, would come back as positive. So, you know, I think for those who were COVID positive, we didn't actually...
we never restricted access in the birthing suite. They always had a one nominated support person with them.
Yeah.
That was their birthing partner. And then once they came to the postnatal ward, that's when we had to adapt and not have as...
We had to restrict the visitors, basically, but we allowed... We required a lot of work as to how to convince senior management how we can make it safe for the partners or the woman's support person to come and visit on the postnatal ward, because it was really stressful, particularly in the first few months where we didn't know what COVID was and what it would look like. So, you know, the first few months was just so challenging to not have partners available. So we had to really come up with a strategy to introduce that, and I think we role modelled it for the rest of the district, the rural sites as well, who were also struggling to not allow partners to come in. So that was something that we had to fight for.
I think it's very fortunate. Like it's so patient focused, and it's all about the patient. But as staff, do you feel supported as well in your role?
No, I feel we're very supportive. Absolutely. We have a very good senior management team here, both within maternity and the general hospital. So we're just one silo in this very large general hospital.
Yeah.
And we have had nothing but support since COVID began. It's been outstanding, really. And we, of course, have tried to support our staff as best we can. As you would know, caring for women in COVID or for any patient who's in COVID, the PPE, the fatigue, the gear that you have to wear, you know, coming in and out for breaks, it was that was the biggest challenge. And staff were getting exhausted, they were getting pressure areas on their faces. You had someone in there one day, you wouldn't put them in there the next day because you knew it was just too much for them. So that was our biggest challenge, really. Absolutely. Wasn't it? Yeah, caring for the staff,
yeah,
who are caring for the women. So,
and of course for themselves as well, because they, you know, they're going home to their families, and you know, potentially they may be taking, you know, things home with them, and so just being able to support them, providing them with facilities that they can so that they're going home safely to their children and their families. And we do a lot of what we call leader rounding here, or staff rounding. So we round with our staff quite regularly. We do, you know, safety huddles to ensure that the staff are okay. So we call a group huddle, you know, once a shift to make sure that everyone is coping well. If they're not coping, then it's about then what sort of support we can actually offer them as well, because it's not only about supporting the women, but of course supporting the staff that actually support the women.
Mm. And how long have you both been midwives for, can I ask?
Like, I'm going to say only. I mean, I finished in 2009, so really it's
37 years for me. 42 in health. Giving my age away now.
Has most of your time been in this particular hospital?
I haven't left. I'm still in the same unit. This is where I did my nursing.
And for me, the hospital opened in 91, and I came to the hospital when it was very fresh, state-of-the-art new facilities. So that was very exciting back in 91.
And we've got a new hospital being built in 2026.
So. I'm not staying around for the new hospital. I'm done.
Something to look forward to.
Would you see many, I suppose they'd be foreign to you, but would you see many people coming from outside of Australia to practice midwifery and nursing there?
Yes, we do.
We do.
We have a number of English midwives who, we've probably got maybe around a dozen English midwives at the moment who are working here. We have some midwives who have come across from New Zealand. We have a couple of Indian midwives. There are a lot of Indian nurses in the hospital.
And they've adapted really well to the service. Mm. It's almost like it's home for them, really. So it's been very reassuring that, you know, they can bring their skills and knowledge here to us as well. And they share their knowledge. And that's what we really like about these, you know, the midwives that are coming from overseas, is because they have different skill sets and knowledge base. And the things that, you know, the policies and guidelines we may have here, you know, they do question it. And, you know, they have, you know, ways of how to make health service better. You know, we'd love to hear their ideas. Oh. And, you know, we try to incorporate that into our business as well, because obviously we want to make sure that we're providing the best service that we can for the women. So,
I
was just going to say, we have a very diverse population here. So we have a large Afghani population. Mm. We have a large Indian population. We have a large
Indigenous
population. A number of women from Iraq and Syria.
Mm.
Large number of refugees who have settled in the Sydney, Newcastle region. So we see a lot of different cultures that come through that require our support, and for us to update our education and knowledge.
And then I suppose outside of the hospital setting, what's life like over there?
Right. I like it.
Out of work.
Oh, like we're only about 30 minutes from the beach here, and you know, we have Lake Macquarie that's only just down the road again, and it's one of the
the largest saltwater lake in Australia, so a lot of boating, fishing activities out there, sailing.
Jane and I do a lot of boating, and we do a bit of canoeing as well on our days off just to chill out. And I mean, there's a lot of bars and restaurants just, you know, in Newcastle. So there's a lot of things to do. Yeah. And
stand-up paddleboarding is a big thing at the moment.
Haven't done that yet. I'm a bit afraid to fall off.
Well, We're also close to the Hunter Valley, which is 30, 40 minutes away. It's a beautiful area. And we also have Port Stephens, which is just a holiday playground. It's set around the rivers and the lake up there. It's beautiful. Yeah. And really, if you're missing Sydney, well, you can drive there as well. It's only 2 hours south. But I say there's no need. No. We've got everything here.
It's all here.
Yeah. Without the traffic.
Yeah. That sounds good. Definitely for people from Galway. The traffic. What are your working hours like then? Is it, do you do shift work, or how do you work out the working week?
Yeah, so we, all our midwives who work here, I suppose that's what midwifery is about, is they do, it is, we have a fairly flexible rostering. It's 7 days a week. We have morning shifts, late shifts, and night duties, or night shifts anyway. So mornings are usually 7 to 3:30. Our afternoon shifts usually start about 1:30 to 10, and then night shifts are usually about 9:30 to the 7:30 start. So, and you know, midwives can work part-time, full-time, casual, and you know, a lot of midwives, you know, like to enjoy having the weekdays off, particularly they know that school's on, and you know, gives them time for themselves, and then they choose to work the weekends because their partners are available. So a lot of options there.
We individualize our rostering pretty much for our midwives, just like we individualize care for women, within the parameters of providing a service, of course. But we try to support staff in their requests as much as we can, and particularly if it's around childcare or caring for elderly parents, or whatever the situation is that they have they're living.
And what would you say to somebody who is maybe midwife in a different country and is thinking, okay, I'm ready to make the move, why would they pick your hospital?
I would say it is a world-class facility. We have every model of care that you could imagine, so we cater to all of the midwives' perhaps desires. I know when I came back to Newcastle, I really wanted to work in a high-risk facility because I'd worked in lower-risk models, whereas we have midwives, and many midwives now want to work in a continuity model of care. And so we have all those models available. And then it's a great place. It's collaborative. There's every option for you. There are lots of educational opportunities, and it's just a damn great place to live. It's got everything. It really has.
And is it easy to find accommodation over there if you were to get a job?
Yeah. In comparison to other areas, I would say, I mean, Newcastle is continuing to grow like everywhere else. And we've got Maitland as well, that's directly right next to us as well. So it is.
It's getting a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. So you better come in soon. but there's definitely growing development here in Newcastle, and that's probably the reasons why the number of births are increasing as well. So, of course, if you've got increasing number of births, that means there's number of families coming. Hence the reason why more developments are starting to establish.
I just thought of something else that we haven't mentioned as well. We're affiliated with the University of Newcastle, and we have the Hunter Medical Research Institute, which is co-located on site here at John Hunter. And ever since the hospital's opened, there's been a lot of money poured into research, into mothers and babies research. And so we've always, you know, worked closely with those researchers, and we also have research midwives who liaise between the researchers and the obstetric maternity team. So a lot of good work has come out of that over the years as well. So it's not just about caring for the women and their babies, it's about what's the next best thing we can do and how we're going to implement that. And I think, you know, we've done it reasonably well.
I think so.
And I suppose one question I'm dying to know myself is, what is it like to be the first person to hold this brand new person that comes into the world?
Usually the mother is the first person to hold them.
We try to give it back to the mother or the parents.
No, it's very fulfilling. It's very rewarding. And, you know, just being part of the birth, I think every birth experience is very different. And you can't say every birth is the same. Yeah. It's just very rewarding to be a part of that.
And that's why we're still here. After all this time for both of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Most midwives stay in midwifery.
Yeah.
They come in, they think they'll come and do their midwifery and then they never leave.
Yeah.
So I think that in itself says a lot about the profession.
Yeah. But even postnatally, you know, just seeing the mothers and their partners just growing confidence and transitioning home, because we also offer an early discharge program as well, where we actually see women and their babies in the home, and you just see them how they're just learning to be the first time mums, or you know, seeing their little ones bonding with the babies. It's just very rewarding, and again, we're seeing them in their homes, and it's just so fulfilling and just rewarding to see that, you know, we've helped them get there, you know, so yeah, just special.
Elizabeth, is there anything there that from a recruitment point of view we're missing out on, or?
No, I don't think so. I mean, only from an interest point of view, when you see UK nurses, you mentioned you have a dozen. How do they fit in? Like when they arrive, what's their journey to fit in and become that you don't even know that they're an overseas nurse?
They're very skilled. Yes. They do come in very skilled, and I feel sometimes you know, their skills and knowledge is just so valuable here, because they're the ones we use a lot of their policies and guidelines that they share with us, because they still have colleagues overseas. And I think just for them, and I think they adapt very well and very quickly here.
They do.
So it's almost like a breeze for them when they actually come.
It's just the things like the computer system and the paperwork and all of that, which would occur anywhere, but the skills they bring with them, they're really quite well sought after.
Remember, like, we also have what we call clinical educators on the floor as well, so in terms of support wise you're not alone. We, you know, our educators that work within the individual units, they'll get to know the new staff, they'll get to know the new support. So it's, you know, and they actually get to work with the new staff about, you know, what are their learning deficits, what do they want to know, what do they need to learn. So, you know, regardless of their, their, how long they've been a midwife for, we don't really discriminate, I suppose, as to, you know, what they don't know. So yeah, we take anyone on board that is actually passionate in midwifery. You know, so
anyone who has the right philosophy and work ethic.
Absolutely. And just willing to work as a team as well. And I think, you know, midwifery, like, you know, it is such, what Joan would say, it's such a busy place. Without the teamwork of the midwives and the medical staff and the support that we do, you know, we wouldn't be able to function as well as we do. So, yeah.
Does it get very warm, or is it kind of nicer?
Well, yesterday it was 27, 28 degrees. I believe it's a little cooler today, so it will start to cool down now. But even in the middle of winter, you know, it might start off at 9, 10 degrees in the morning and we're freezing, and then it gets up to 17 or 18 every day and we're still complaining about it.
We have midwives that come in, they start work at, you know, on the afternoon shift, and they're saying they're actually swimming at 5 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, so they obviously have that routine and pattern. So,
but in the summertime, it's we haven't had the best summer this year. It's been a bit sticky and humid with all the rain, but you know, when we get a nice dry summer, although it doesn't get that dry here because we're coastal, but we can get up to, you know, 30 is a nice day. 35 is getting a bit warm, 40 is too hot, but don't put that in the podcast.
Sometimes we can't get our staff to pick up shifts because they're at the beach, so sometimes it's a little bit too good out there. If the weather is good, you know that they won't pick up it. Sometimes you hope it rains.
We don't have that problem here.
Yes, public schooling is free schooling. I'm unsure of the terminology, particularly in the UK. And it's very good in most areas. You go to the school in which your zone, so if you live in a certain area, you're zoned for a school. And there are private school options. So there's the Catholic school, or you go right up to the, you know, the high paying private schools. I guess it just depends upon your philosophy. And I guess if you're bringing children, you might think about you know, what school you want your children to go to, particularly a high school, because different high schools have different options. But there's one school that focuses on sporty kids. There's the performing arts schools for kids who dance and sing and all that sort of thing. And then there's the highly academic schools. Well, you get into those based upon your results, not that you live in the area. So yeah, there's a lot of options there, a lot of private options as well.
Yeah, great. Okay, so I could talk all day, Katie. You need to cut me off. I think I could talk all day.
I'm just thinking this was a lovely day for us to start our day. You know, we started our day with such an uplifting, and you know, it can only go up from here.
Yeah, we enjoy our work.
Yeah,
your passion is clear. Do you know what I mean? It's clear that you love what you do. Great love for where you work, which is really refreshing to see.
Yeah.
And we just love, you know, having, like I said, we just enjoy having, you know, midwives coming in that are just enthusiastic and just passionate in what they do, because it makes such a big difference to the wards that you're working with. And doesn't matter what sort of stress you're in, it just makes it easy because you know the teamwork's there. So yeah.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, and we hope it was helpful. If you're interested in joining the John Hunter team with Wendy and Jane, please get in contact with myself, Elizabeth Cox, and my email is nurse@icegroup.ie. And all our roles are on our website, www.icejobs.ie. See you soon.